I was sitting in a Chinese restaurant in Kingsland last week, wondering what to say today. And more urgently, wondering what to order to eat. And a couple of Chinese women sat down next to me and started speaking very emphatically and rapidly in Cantonese as they chose their dishes. They were obviously regular customers, and they had the inside story on the menu, the inside story that I needed. But I didn't have a clue what they were saying, and I didn't have the courage to ask whether they could translate a few lines for me. So I settled for the pork fried ribs again, and while I waited, I read the Herald, which that day was full of complaints about the ever larger parts of retail Auckland being filled with signs that poor old monolingual Kiwis cannot understand at all. Now, these signs could well be advertising miracle cures for impotency and insolvency that every Kiwi needs. But those of us who can't read Cantonese or Mandarin or Tagalog or Thai or Korean or Japanese will never know. Those of us who are Pākehā monolingual Kiwis are well accustomed to not knowing. Some of you whose families settled here before the 1860s had great-great-grandparents who could speak Māori and needed to if they were going to survive in provincial New Zealand. But after the New Zealand Wars of the 1860s and the land confiscation and the racial demonizing that followed, Pākehā mostly gave up on being bicultural, and Māori, diminished and demoralized, withdrew from the partnership or had to re-enter it on Pākehā terms. And it wasn't until the late 1960s that we started to see what one nation and two peoples might mean. And it wasn't until the early 1990s that this church took bicultural partnership seriously enough to rewrite its constitution. I've just written a book about that journey, which will be launched at the General Synod, Te Hinota Whānui, in a couple of months. The late Hone Kar gave the book a title, which describes the essence of Kiwi Anglicanism for the last 200 years. Waikarikari, he called it. Turbulent waters. And as a Māori priest with a Pākehā wife, fluent in both cultures, living between the cultures, carrying the pain of the inequity and the ignorance that still curses our partnership, Honi knew all about that turbulence. And I wonder what he would be saying today about Louis Crimp, the ACT Party donor from Southland who thinks that Māori are ignorant and not proper New Zealanders. Or Paul Henry, who seems to think that migrants are inherently dirty, not fit to live even in his linen cupboard. Maybe with that line, Mr. Henry has gone one insult too far, as his ratings continue to slide. All of this suggests that in our 21st century global village, with technology that lets us talk to and see everyone and access information about anything, anytime, anywhere, we are still no better at communicating with each other than we ever were. It ought to be easier, but it doesn't seem to be. We ought to be able to learn from our history of miscommunication, but we haven't. The ability to communicate with our neighbor, especially when our neighbor is a different color or in a different income bracket or holds a different faith, seems to be as elusive as ever. Muslims, Christians, and Jews did better at living with each other in the 10th century than they do in the 21st. The Wellington Diocese has just elected a new bishop with a hairstyle different from most of us who still have hair. And on the basis of his dreadlocks, he got media coverage that his short back and sided colleagues could only dream of. Now there's a case of difference creating communication. It hardly ever happens. Pray God it will continue. But for most of the time, difference deters lasting communication. Our fear of the unfamiliar, our genetic preference to keep inside our comfort zones, all works to keep us avoiding contact with people unlike ourselves. And Christians who ought to know better are as quick as any indoor bowler or rugby player to form a club where the interests of insiders come first. What we need more urgently than anything at this stage in our history, as New Zealanders and Aucklanders, is not a balanced budget or a new rail loop or a pokey-free convention centre. What we need first is a quantum leap in our ability to communicate with each other across the boundaries of race and class and income and gender and sexual orientation. And because we still do that so badly, we continue to kid ourselves that we can ignore issues of child poverty and affordable housing and health and a livable wage. Not because we who are privileged are such bad people, we're simply insulated from the cries of anyone who disturbs us too much. And the chances of that changing look more remote than ever. In a continuing GFC, global financial crisis, we've even got initials for it because we expect it to be around for a while. And with that ever yawning gap between rich and poor, it's easier to turn off the news and shut down communication as hope gets harder to find. What we need is something outside ourselves, more radical than anything we've found, rooted in a confidence that exceeds anything we currently have, something that will work even in the worst of times. The first Pentecost Sunday is a celebration of exactly that something. It happened at the worst of times. The prophecy it fulfilled from the book of Joel, which gives us the language to describe this new gift of communication, it had a context much tougher than anything we face. The prophet is lamenting the ruin of his country, just as Luke, the author of today's reading, was framed by the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple. The global financial crisis doesn't even rank with the devastation they faced. "The vines have dried up," cries Joel. "The fields are devastated. The trees are splintered. The seeds shrink and the oil fails." But undeterred by all of that, he launches into a promise of God's Spirit being poured out in dreams and visions for young and old alike. And exactly what form does this outpouring take? Well, it's the gift of communication, no less. The ability of Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians to make sense of each other for the first time, to connect with each other, to understand and respect each other for all their differences. And as well as the Mesopotamians and Cappadocians, the Samoans and the Tongans too, and the Koreans and the Chinese, the Maori and the Pakeha, the southern and the eastern suburbs, the ACT voters and the Mana Party members. The Pentecost gift is nothing less than a promise and a call to reorder our expectations of how we are meant to be living with our neighbors, especially the neighbors who aren't like us. To live in shalom with them is to live in right relationship. And you can't begin to do that if you're not speaking to each other, understanding and respecting to each other, no matter how different you might be. Our vocation as Christian people is to be in communication. The two Latin words of that root, the two Latin roots of that word are about holding things in common and establishing community. And the opposite of communication is not silence, but sinfulness, which is best defined as a refusal to be in communion. Pentecost is a story of how the people of God are empowered to be communicators. The followers of Jesus had been waiting around since Easter Sunday, wondering what to do next, bewildered by what this resurrection presence of their leader really meant. They'd done a bit of restructuring, new people had been recruited, but no breakthroughs until this amazing morning when God gives them the courage and the confidence to stop talking to themselves and start talking to the world. This Jesus story that we hold crumbles if we clutch it in our hands and keep it to ourselves. It is designed to be shared, and God will help you find the words to do that if you ask. Pentecost is not a magic signs and wonders show. Ironically, we've let it become like that by largely defining it as glossolalia, speaking in tongues, ecstatic, exciting, but incomprehensible. This festival of intelligible communication can easily become a celebration of incoherence. A deeper, tougher reading of this symbolic story shows us that God's fundamental business is coherent communication, and that our very reason for being human is to be in communion with each other and thereby with God. Before we are called to be good or useful or holy, we are called to be communicators. That's what we're all about. That's what we're designed to do. And our Anglican tradition has known that for a long time, which is why the lectionary for today says, this is a principal feast and should not be replaced by any other celebration. Only Christmas and Easter get that treatment. And we sort of understood that when we stumbled and fumbled our way towards becoming a bicultural church, knowing that we couldn't become authentically multicultural in Aotearoa until we first became bicultural. And 20 years on from that constitutional revolution, we are still stumbling and fumbling. Our understanding of each other's tikanga, our contact with each other, Māori, Pākehā, Pacifica, our sharing of resources and worship is often less, not more, than it was. And if you don't read Tāonga magazine or go to General Synod or seek out a Māori or a Tongan congregation in Auckland, you could be forgiven for thinking that Anglicans are becoming whiter and more segregated than ever. It was the Pentecost gift that led this church to rewrite its constitution. But we seem to have taken a rain check on that gift lately. This Sunday says that the gift is still on offer, waiting to be accepted and used, not only in partnership with Māori, but with every different group. The faith that we share in the God we know in Jesus Christ, the God-given blessings that we enjoy, they've all been given to us in order to be given away. We don't enjoy them because we're better or more deserving than others. And the more we share and give away of ourselves, the richer we become. The more boldly we communicate with others who are different, the better communicators we become. That's the promise of this Pentecost festival. And St. Matthew's, as a multicultural congregation, in the middle of a multicultural city, embedded in the contradictions and the chaos of Aucklanders as they talk past each other, as you tell your story electronically to the world, as you provide a place of welcome and hospitality to all comers, this ought to be the perfect place to hear and tell the Pentecost story. I know that you like to be known as a progressive church, a church on the margins, a cutting-edge church. Consider as well the title of a communicating church, a church that helps us understand each other, talk to each other, listen to each other, find communion with each other. However, unlike the other you might be. And take this Pentecost story as a personal challenge this week as you struggle to deal with people in your life who you don't like much, who you're fearful of, perhaps who you're threatened by. Ask God to let you try again at dealing with them more openly, more respectfully, more hopefully than you usually do, as though all the earlier failures hadn't happened. The Pentecost promise lets you have another go. In Jesus' name, we dare to say these things. Amen.